pancakes and sausages, mini donuts and cotton candy, beef on a bun, and steak and potatoes. The new Canada Food Guide specially constituted for Stampede Time. You're listening to the Morning News with Bruce Kenyon on AM 770 CHQR.
547, we're joined now by Barry. He is an estate lawyer and author of Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs, here to talk about pets in the will. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Bruce. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. I understand it's illegal for someone to leave money to their pet in Canada?
Well, not illegal, but it would be like leaving a chair to a table. Animals are still considered, sadly, property in Canada, and as a consequence, really can't inherit. They can be inherited, but they can't receive funds. But there are ways around it, and certainly people have made very good plans to allow their pets to be taken care of in the event that they can't do it themselves.
How many people are doing this now? I know we've become pet crazy, and I'm one of them, but, I mean, are there that many people leaving, you know, their pets in the will, leaving things?
More and more, certainly. I mean, in the United States, they're indicating that 33% of wills probated have a pet provision, and there they can actually create trust. In Canada, in my own practice, about 3 in 10 people have asked me to put in a pet provision. So I'd say it's running about equally, 30-40% of people are doing this. And it's not so unusual. It's not like, you know, Eleanor Helmsley or Leona Richley, you know, the Quaker State oil heiress that left $150 million to the 150 stray dogs that she accumulated during her lifetime, or Mrs. Helmsley, who left $10 million to Trouble, her little pet pooch. But, people do normal things, $5,000 to defray veterinarian costs, expenses, food, and also you can calculate it out. I mean, there are longevity tables for pets. So it's sort of within the realm of reason.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. And they don't trust their family members to do it, those rotten kids, so they got to set up something to make sure the pets are provided, right?
Well, you know what? Sometimes the kids, end up having spouses who may be allergic, who don't like the animal. And, you know, you never know. I mean, we make assumptions in life, and usually those assumptions are not accurate. Interestingly, though, people, you know, talking about families, there are bitter custody disputes that are becoming very common over pets. In fact, out in Kentucky, a lady ended up going to jail for 30 days. And in Alberta, a truck driver was ordered in 2004 to pay his ex-wife $200 in dog support and $2,000 retroactive payment.
I know a guy, and this is like over 10 years ago, and at the time, he and his wife split up, and they had an agreement that one gets the dog for 2 weeks, like they switch it back and forth. They had a custody agreement even then.
Well, people...
even more common, is it?
It is, Bruce. I mean, very much so. And, you know, in one case in the U.S., it's hard to believe, but a California couple fought over their pointer greyhound, Gigi, and it cost them more than $100,000 in legal fees. So I think people take it real seriously.
Oh, they're nuts. Hey, whatever happened with the Leona Helmsley thing? Did they end up with giving the $10 million to the...
No. No, it ended up that nobody other than the one of her chauffeurs would take it. I think who was the general manager of her Sandcastle Hotel, a guy by the name of Carl Leclerc. And it ended up being pared down to a much lower sum of money. Courts do that. I mean, both in Canada and the United States, if you leave too much, you know, to defray the costs, or you leave too much for a pet, a judge will look at it and diminish the value of it and leave that sum to the residue, so the residual legatees will end up with it. So you can't be excessive.
Yeah, quite right. Name of the book is Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs. Barry, we appreciate you talking to us. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Bruce.